Hey, everyone. This is Rob Motti. Thanks for tuning in to this episode of Faith on a Field Show. If you want to hear any of our previous episodes, please check out our website, faithonafieldshow.com. You can also subscribe on every major podcast channel like Spotify, iTunes, Stitcher, Google Play, Podbean, and TuneIn. Please like, share, and leave a review so others can find out about the show. We appreciate your support, and here is this week's episode presented by Cairn University. Welcome to Faith on a Field Show, presented by Cairn University. I'm Rob Motti with Remy Motti. It's just the two of us again this week, Pastor Kyle home in Jersey. Our guest this episode is Troy Vincent. Troy is a man who has, he's done it all in the NFL. He was a star player, a cornerback with several teams, including the Philadelphia Eagles. He served with the Players Union, and he is now the NFL's Executive Vice President of Football Operations. Troy's one of those people when he speaks, and you heard his interview, when he speaks, awesome. You listen. You sit there and you're captivated. He's so full of wisdom and so passionate. And, you know, when I sign off every radio show that I do and I go make a difference, be a blessing, Troy lives that every day, making a positive difference and blessing other people. I first got to know him when he played for the Eagles and I began covering the team for AP in 2000. Troy was already there with the Eagles. He's a man, I've known him to be a man of strong faith, and he's always willing to share his love for Christ. He's bold, he's passionate about helping others, he's very passionate about serving the community, giving back. It's very inspirational, his servant attitude, and honestly, you listen to him talk and you just want to get up and do something for someone else. And you and I have been teaching our girls various Bible verses these past couple weeks. And one of my favorites is Matthew 25:40. And they just learned this over the past couple days. Whatever you do for the least of my brothers and sisters, you do for me. And Troy's going to bring that up in our conversation. And that's really how he lives his life. And his story, where he came from, growing up in Trenton, New Jersey, witnessing domestic violence as a young kid, something that no one should have to go through, to becoming an NFL legend and a strong advocate for survivors, for abuse survivors. So he's just a leader in every sense of the word. He embodies what we're going to talk about today on this episode, and that's resilience. Because everyone who is listening to this, I want you to know, we are not defined by our past. We are not defined by our circumstances. We are not defined by our childhood or the environment that we grew up in, what we lacked, what we had, or what we don't have. Whatever we went through, we can overcome it. And Jesus is the way. Jesus is the key. You have talked about this so often. About you grew up in Egypt where you had to worship in fear at church.
Yes.
You lived through domestic violence, but you overcame.
Yeah.
And I've talked about my story, my testimony, going through divorce and having financial issues and just running around relationship to relationship, a pattern of self-destructive behavior, but I overcame. And now all of us who are living through this coronavirus pandemic right now, some out there have lost loved ones and some are sick and suffering. And we absolutely grieve for you and pray for you and pray for comfort. And so many people have lost their jobs. The unemployment rate right now is skyrocketing. The economy is sinking. There is a difficult road ahead. But know this, we can overcome, and we will overcome if we're resilient, and we have to be resilient. And for me, resilience starts with putting my faith in the Lord, surrendering everything to Him. And I say this every week, and I'm going to keep saying it. In all things, God works for our good.
Absolutely. And you know, we're all one way or another, we are resilient. Because if we're not dead, God is not done. And in one way, shape, or form, we're resilient. We keep going. No matter what, we keep pushing. Some people don't get that point. Sometimes I fall in a trap of not feeling like I can do it, or I'm able to do it, or I can't take another day, or I can't take another moment. But at the same time, I dig deep. And then you have to think of this as, what is your spring pad? What is the one thing that keep pushing you forward? To me, is my faith is my spring pad. I keep just going forward because of my faith, because of Christ, because I keep going to my launching pad. What's my launching pad?
Mm-hmm.
Christ. And if that's your launching pad, you will always find the courage to keep going. You will always find a way to persevere and go forward with the things that you're trying to do. And through what we're doing right now, through what we're going through, if we just dig deep and we go back to Christ in everything, whether it's illness, whether it's job loss, whether it's whatever it is that you're going through, if you would just dig deep and say to yourself, Christ is in me and I am enough because of that, that's your launching pad. That's the one thing that's going to keep you resilient. That's the one thing that's going to keep pushing you forward. And it's going to make your days brighter, even though it seems dark around us. Everywhere you look, there's a lot of darkness. But if you look within, and you look within just like your little family, like what we do every day, like eating dinner together for me keeps me going.
Yeah.
Like I feel like that's the one thing. I really look forward to that because our time together, eating a meal, sharing something together, and it's just so beautiful to pray before we eat and just see the girls enjoy the food and seeing you enjoy. I feel like that's like the little moment that keeps you going. That's the thing that keeps me resilient.
I'm gonna tell people I've washed more dishes during this coronavirus lockdown than I did our first 8 years of marriage combined.
I know. And what's up with that?
Well, I was always on the go. I was always working. I like, but that's no excuse. I should do more.
That's okay.
I like how you're referencing a launching pad, a springboard, a spring pad, because resilience means the ability to bounce back.
Right.
Right? To bounce back from whatever it is. Yeah. We get knocked down, we bounce back.
We
need that springboard ahead, springboard forward. Mm-hmm. When you look in throughout biblical history, the greatest men and women in the Bible, they weren't superheroes.
No.
They weren't better than you or me. They weren't better. None of us are better than each other.
Yeah.
It's how we're able to bounce back, how we're able to overcome. From Job, my goodness, when you think about Job, right?
That's too much,
what he had to endure and continue to bounce back from, overcome, be resilient. You talk about Paul, who he was, what he became, and when he became a Christian, when he saw the light, his life didn't become easier. His life became more difficult.
Mm-hmm.
Yet he had to bounce back, overcome being bound and whipped and chained and and in jail and writing some of the happiest books of the New Testament while he was in those chains. So when we look about resiliency, it's consistently and constantly having to overcome and having to move forward. And, you know, we look at this now and we go, how can we do it? How can we do it when maybe you're in a situation where you've lost everything?
Mm-hmm.
How many people have lost their, whether it's a small business, their job? I'm reading stories about people who just, they're no longer have any ability to put food on the table. And it's so difficult and it's so hard. And I go, hope isn't lost
when
you have Christ.
I really feel like this is a setup for a greater comeback. I know most of us don't see it. I know a lot of us don't see it. But I feel like if you would just keep your eye on the cross, the victory is there.
Mm-hmm.
And there is no such thing as it's all done and over with. If Christ is not here with us, it is not over. So I really feel this is the launching pad for the greatest comeback, for the greatest comeback in history for the people that really have endured, the people that have really put in the work before, the people that have put Christ in every single scenario in their life. From in day in, day out, from the minute they wake up to the minute they go to sleep, they put Christ first. I really believe 100% that this is going to be the greatest comeback for the believers and even the non-believers. Because I feel like, you know, I was just reading something about the highway of holiness.
Mm.
There's something called the highway of holiness. And we all going to take that. I feel like this is what Christ is preparing us for the highway of holiness, which is we're all going to go with greatest speed, where all the obstacles are going to be vanished from in front of us. And we're going to go with greater speed to do the best that we could do for Christ to come back for real this time. We're going to do a great job. And even the unbelievers are going to look at us and be like, whoa, this is good. I'm going to go with you.
I want what you have. That's what it's about. It's about I want what you have in leading people to Christ. We don't have to do it by standing up verbally shouting from the...
No.
How we react. How we respond to this adversity. How we can maintain the peace in our heart and overcome. How we can be resilient. Every week... Now, 2 weeks in a row, you've had... these incredible visions. We don't have time to get into them this episode.
We don't.
But I promise, we got to get into these visions. What you're seeing is so vivid. What the Lord is showing you is so clear. But when we come back, you're going to hear a very special interview with Troy Vincent. You don't want to miss this. Mm-hmm. You got to hear this interview with Troy. You're listening to Faith on a Field Show, presented by Cairn University.
Cairn University is a biblical university located in Langhorne, Pennsylvania, just 25 minutes from Center City, Philadelphia. With NCAA Division III athletics, a strong commitment to the arts, and majors in over 40 professional and academic fields, Cairn prepares students to serve Christ as biblically minded, well-educated, and professionally competent men and women of character. Learn more at cairn.edu.
Welcome back to Faith on the Field Show, presented by Cairn University. I'm Rob Motti. If you missed any of our previous episodes, go to faithonthefieldshow.com. You can find every show and listen anytime at your convenience. We're also on Google Play, Stitcher, Spotify, TuneIn, Podbean, as well as iTunes. You can also follow us on Twitter and Instagram, and follow us on Facebook as well, at Faith on the Field. Sign up for our weekly email list and get our weekly episode delivered right to your inbox. Make sure you also follow us on all of our social media platforms. I'm at Rob Motti, except Instagram, where it's at Real Rob Motti. Remy is at Remy Motti, and Kyle is at Kyle J. Horner. We'll let you know about speaking appearances, events that we're hosting once we're able to gather in groups again. I will be preaching a virtual sermon on May 17 as part of the Comfy Cozy Church online worship service for Pastor Beth Caulfield at Franklinville United Methodist Church and Newfield UMC. You can tune in live 10 a.m. on their Facebook pages, which are Franklinville UMC and Newfield UMC, and the YouTube channel called Comfy Cozy Church. Looking forward to that on May 17. Our guest this week is Troy Vincent. Troy played 15 seasons in the NFL with Miami, Philadelphia, Buffalo, and Washington. He was a 5-time Pro Bowl pick, an All-Pro. He won the Walter Payton Man of the Year Award, the Byron Wizard White Man of the Year Award, the Bart Starr Award, many numerous achievements that Troy has earned throughout his career. Troy served as the president of the NFL Players Association for 4 years while he was playing. He currently serves as the NFL Executive Vice President of Football Operations. I spoke to Troy this week. Here is that interview. Troy, you say that faith inspires leadership, and I know you to be a man of strong faith, and you certainly were a leader on the field. You were a leader in the locker room when you played, and you're a leader now as the NFL's Executive VP of Operations. So how does your faith inspire your leadership?
I lead by faith and not fear. Mm-hmm. And our faith, my particular faith, allows me to be consistent in my walk. It allows me to be consistent in the way I respond and how I listen. So that is the foundation, as we would say, my playbook into servant leadership is the term that I use in our frame. I lead from behind, making sure that personally I serve the men and the women that I work alongside, the men and women that I work or report and this our report too. So it's all about serving leadership, but being grounded in my faith.
That attitude of service, and I know that you are very passionate about serving in the community and giving back also to the community. That attitude of service comes from, that's biblical, that comes from Christ, who came to serve others, came to serve us. How does that attitude work through you, through what you've learned from his teachings?
Rob, we all will be answered. I mean, that's a very good question. But we all will be asked a question. Mm-hmm. As we depart, the scripture talks about the very question of what have we done for the least of them? Mm. And that is serving people or individuals who can't help you, who can't help us. And coming from a servant heart, because we're all measured by our heart. So when we think about the least of them, that's first and foremost. What have we done? So we enter that kingdom. And we get asked that question, what have you done? What have you done for the least of them? And that's the foundation of service. And we have to remember, it's not serving people that can help us. Because oftentimes we like, or we believe that if I help this person, this will come back to either benefit me. Now, that's not service. So I that comes from the biblical learning around the service of others and really identifying the least of them.
One of your recent posts pointed us to Matthew 5:45, God reigning on the just and the unjust, the righteous and the unrighteous. Now, talk to me about riches versus purpose and that belief that no matter if we have a lot or a little, it really doesn't matter because we all have that access to purpose if we access God. I tell people sports is my profession, but spreading the gospel is my purpose.
Yeah.
So talk to me about
that.
The
rain comes out on the just and unjust. That means whether we have riches or whether we're the underserved, there's a choice. Mm-hmm. And we know God is a God of no mistakes. And we all have the ability to choose. And we all we're not mistakes because we serve a God. Jesus Christ is the example. He died for our sins and transgressions. And we serve a purposeful and a faithful God.
Who were some of your spiritual mentors along the way?
Bishop Vaughn in Trent, New Jersey. Mm-hmm. Pastor Tony Evans, who's mm-hmm. down in Dallas, Texas. Miles Monroe. Prior to him passing away, was a mentor for many, many years. So those are three of my spiritual mentors. Aeneas Williams. Obviously, Doc and I, we just talk about our purpose. That's a daily walk that we encourage and challenge each other about bringing people to Christ. First and foremost, it is why we exist. When we talk about being the salt of the earth, that is what the salt of the earth is leading people to Christ. But those would be Dr. Monroe was a tremendous mentor of mine. Pastor Evans today down in Texas, Tony Evans, Aeneas Williams, and Bishop Vaughn is in Jersey have been just great leaders, leaders of men, leaders of women throughout my lifetime.
I talked to New Eagles safety, Kayvon Wallace, and he spoke highly of you, how you've mentored him, right? Not about the football stuff, but as he said, Troy, what the Bible says about being a better man and how to give back in the community, work in the community. To me, being a stronger man means being strong in the word. So talk to me about you mentoring young guys, not just Kayvon. I know you do it for so many different people across the league and others in the profession, but how you were mentored, how you learned from that to now mentor others, and why Eagles fans maybe should be excited about Kayvon.
Well, let me just begin with, I've made so many mistakes in my life and continue to do so. Mm-hmm. But along my journey, both athletically and in just my normal day-to-day life, there have been men and women that have come into my life, that have spoken a word in my life to change the way I see things, to change the way I act, my behavior. And that is what our challenges in life, our obstacles in life. This is Brian and I had this conversation just 2 weeks ago, an in-depth conversation around when we hold on to the things, our trials and tribulations, they're not for us. They are for someone else. And we have to have a willing heart to release those things so that others can grow or others may avoid those. So throughout my life, there have been so many men and women and coaches that have guided me through. Mm-hmm. I'm just doing what someone shared with me. As we would say, we all drink from wells from which we did not dig. Mm-hmm. I'm one of those individuals who have drunk, who have learned and benefited from so many others. Now I'm just doing the same. It was no differently as a player. Every locker room that I had the opportunity to be part of, there was a mentorship of veteran to a younger guy, whether that was in Miami, my time in Philly. I use the Bobby Taylors, the Litos, the Sheldon Brown, those individuals when people are coming in, and you embrace those opportunities to share. Kayvon and others across the country. Mm-hmm. When the men are willing to listen, and it's not that myself in particular, others are right or you have to do it our way. It is, these are things that we've learned as you're in this athletic journey in this, let's say this vertical or occupation of professional football. There have been so many others who have been there that you can benefit from if you're willing to listen. Mm. Kayvon has been one of those individuals that I have found to be consistent with follow up, consistent with, hey, T, we discussed this today in Bible study, which tells me he's in his word. Mm-hmm. Who has been consistent with, would you mind sharing with me how you deal with things that are off the field, family concerns or issues? Those are the things that have showed me over time, over the years, since I've known just Kayvon, the consistency in that area has allowed me to share things with him that he has applied, I've seen come to life or applied in his life. And he just happens to be, drafted by the Philadelphia Eagles. As I shared with him the day he was drafted, going back and forth with him, I just said, hey, there's been a standard that has been set for defensive back play through the years in Philadelphia. And Kayvon, you will see that every day as you walk in that facility and you come through that hallway going to that team meeting room. There are a couple images of some people that you have been in contact with throughout the years that you will see and remind you not about our play, but about what we stood for as we would hope, as children of God, as believers. So you'll have an image of us when you see us. We hope that reminds you that there's a greater gain. And what is the greater gain? Being responsible, being accountable, being community related. And then on Sundays, Mondays, and Thursdays, allowing the gifts that God has given you to come into full display so that there's a parent that's in that stand or there's a family watching the television with their children, whether it's a male or a female, to say, Daddy, I want to be like that. Or Daddy, Well, Mom, I want his jersey. That's the greater game. So I just think, I do believe that Kayvon has some qualities that allows for Doug and Howie and Jeffrey to create the culture and keep the culture of winning in place.
Now, you also know Jalen, and Jalen is a strong, humble man, man of faith. He's coming into a situation that is probably not the most ideal, because you would want to, as a young kid getting drafted, you would want to go somewhere where you can compete for a starting job. He knows what the situation is in Philadelphia. Carson Wentz is the franchise quarterback. How do you think that his faith is going to allow him to navigate that and be able to handle it maybe better than most?
History is the greatest predictor of the future.
Mm-hmm.
I'll repeat, history is the greatest predictor of the future. If anyone has watched this young man's athletic journey from the time he was in Tuscaloosa to going to Oklahoma and watch how he has handled himself as a student athlete, both on and off the field, this is what you want as part of your franchise. This is the fabric of when we talk about winning. This is the fabric of what you want in your locker room to compete. You want to fill every meeting room with competition. Jalen's past experience and how he dealt with being transitioned away from at halftime of a championship game and watch his initial reaction after the game. What did he do? He celebrated his teammates.
Yeah.
Those are the kind of things, man, they are invaluable in a locker room. And he has been every step of the way. Anytime you put a mic in front of him, you watch his daily walk. These individuals are good for the game, the overall game of football. They're great examples of a student athlete and all the things that the sport and, frankly, faith develops.
You talked a little bit ago about not allowing your trials and tribulations, not holding on to those. Now, you grew up in an environment where you may have become bitter, angry, resentful, and allowed that to shape your life. But instead, you turned into something else, a leader, a man of faith, someone who overcame. How did you do that?
On the day that I fell in love with Jesus Christ at the age of 16,
mm-hmm.
when I turned my life over to Christ, I had great grandparents. My mother did the best job that she could do in raising me. I never let the environment define who I was. But once the day that I fell in love with Jesus Christ, I became a new individual. Just meaning I wasn't better than anybody else. I was still in the environment, but I wasn't going to let the environment shape who I was. And I just made a choice, which we all have the ability to make a choice of who we work with, who we deal with, who we hang out with, who we communicate with, what we put in our system, so on and so forth. I just made a conscious choice to say, if I want anything better, I just got to make some choices. And be disciplined in these choices and make a sacrifice and keep pressing on. Rob, I would also say this, and I said this, if you don't mind me sharing.
Sure.
I had the opportunity at the Combine to speak to what they call the elite athletes. The NC2A puts on where they bring in the top 25 athletes for the coming year. So in this particular weekend, it's the Sunday of the combine. I had an opportunity to speak to, I think it was 22 athletes who were the future stars, football related. Student athletes that are on college campuses now that are underclassmen who will lead the class of 2021. And there was a young man who got up and spoke. They did some mock interviews and so on and so forth with kind of giving him, here's the process. Right. Fast forward. This young man, and they get up at the end, they say, hey, what did you all think about the questions that the panel asked him and so on and so forth, like a mock interview with a club. And this young man said something, and it brought me to my knees. I began weeping, and you know, in front of the group, he began talking about his environment in which he grew up, and just said, "It's unfortunate that I grew up in a bad situation." And he really began to speak like, because of my situation, because of where I was born and how I was born, this was a big mistake, and it crushed me. And I say that because I stopped him. I just said, time out, in front of the entire group, the NC2A staff. And I said, time out. Don't you ever say that again. And the reason why why are you speaking negativity about your situation, where you were born, and the circumstances? Because what you just spoke about was resiliency. You're not in this room if you didn't have the resiliency, the dedication, the discipline, and the commitment to come out of that. That's what every organization is looking for in leaders and workers. Your mother's situation and where you were born, you didn't choose that. And don't you allow anybody to sit at a table and ask you a question, and you take that question and you turn it into a negative about because where you were born and raised. That is a strength. There are people that are asking that question who have never had to fight for anything in their life. Who is sitting at that interview table asking you these questions about your family, your lifestyle, whatever it may be, who has never had to work a day in his life. And if you dropped them in your environment, they would completely fall apart. And you made it. So I just say that, and back to the question that you asked me about my circumstances. Man, coming from out of Trenton, New Jersey, born on the north side, finishing up on the east side of town, Wilbur section, Little Beirut, if not for that environment, not for the trials and the tribulations. That's why that bridge, when you come across on Route 1 from Marsville, Pennsylvania into Trenton, there's a bridge that says the Trenton makes, the world takes. If you can make it out of there, you can make it anywhere. So I never use my where I was from, family circumstances. All of those things were pillars and stepping stones. And once I became a little bit, you know, you go to college, you finish up high school, you start learning these different terms that they use in the corporate area. Wait a minute. Resiliency. Okay. Hard work and all that. You couldn't survive without resiliency. Yeah. And where, you know, where I was born and raised, or where many are born and raised. Communication, man, if you couldn't communicate properly, I didn't know that was a valuable asset for someone. And turning those things into just making those things part of your body of work and how you are made up, how you see life and how you see things. So I just wanted to share that story, Rob, on the athlete today. Mm-hmm. And there's always this picture of this broken family, this brokenness. No, that's a strength.
Yeah. Well, as I was watching the draft, and they kept alluding to, okay, and this kid's drafted, and he went through this, and he went through that, and some people had negative reactions to it. Why are they showing that? But I thought, like, oh, they're overcomers. These are people who,
yes,
they've overcome along the way. We all have a story, Troy. We all have something that we had to get through. We all had to get through something to get to where we are. What do you remember about that day? You say when you fell in love with Christ at age 16. Do you remember that day? What do you remember that?
I remember that day. It started off, I got on the, as we would say, the little blue bus to take us to Bible study. Mm-hmm. And it was, you know, had been to many before that. You know, you're sitting in church with your mom every Sunday. You don't want to be there. You're sitting there. You're sitting next to her. You got your hands crossed. You're pissed off. You're pouting. And, you know, you got the little Bible. Remember, it was a little green Bible, little zipper that can fit in your pocket. And it was just one of those days where I was truly engaged. And the pastor that particular day talked about Jesus. You know, Jesus gave his life for us. Mm-hmm. That somebody died for my sins and transgressions, and that we are forgiven if we acknowledge that. And it was that day, it was something that might have happened that week or that week prior, that it was just that time and that moment to say, man, somebody does love me. And then really learning about faith, like, but I can't see this man. Like, how can I love somebody that I don't really know, that I don't know? It's like this person that we've been celebrating every Sunday in church and, you know, praise and worship. It was that day where I said, that pastor's talking to me. Mm. He's actually, and it was like nobody else was on the pew. Nobody else was there. And he's like, if this is you, I remember him, you know, if this is you, please come to the altar. If this is you, because it used to be, you know, put your hand up, close your eyes, you can, you know, put your head down,
yes,
and put your hand up.
They still do that some places, yeah.
Yes,
yeah.
But that particular day,
mm-hmm,
pastor said, if that is you, come forward.
Yeah.
And I got up out of my seat and I came forward.
I know that feeling. I know that feeling when I did it, and I felt the weight of the world lifted off my shoulders when I walked up to the front of that altar
when I got up, Rob, and I started walking back to my seat, man, it was like I was walking back on my toes, and it was like I'm looking at people are looking at me. I'm like,
yeah,
I did it. Mm-hmm. There was no embarrassment. I'm like, whoa. And from that day forward, it was like,
yeah.
You know, I was going back out to the basketball court because basketball is what I was doing every day. And people was like, man, what you doing? You pointing up to the sky. I'm like, man, Jesus is cool. Making a jump shot, pointing up to the sky. They're like, come on, TV, what's up with that?
Yeah.
I'm like, it's all good, man. You know, so that was that day, Rob. It was that day of like, man, he sacrificed his life for me. I am somebody. I am important. There are greater things for me.
That's beautiful. Troy, I want to finish up with what's going on now, because we talk about the trials and the tribulations. We as a world right now are going through this global pandemic. But, you know, as I tell my little girls, and my wife and I talk about it, and we talk about in all things, good and bad, in all things, God is working for the good. So look for the good. I hate the fact that there are people suffering now, that we can't see, interact with society, and people are dying, and that's terrible. But I look for the good. And to me, the good is we took a pause. We took a reset. We sat back and, and we said all of these things that are dominating our time and all of the false idols that we allow into our life, that's been removed, and now it's family time. It's time to get back in the Word and grind and really assess the priorities. Have you looked at this time as we're going through a global pandemic and sought that good and found it in various ways?
Yes. And you were saying that, I was like, Lord, have mercy. I just finished up a blog yesterday. I was writing, and as you were talking, literally, as you were talking about what the current circumstances is, and I just finished up a blog, Fear Versus Faith. In my last two paragraphs, if you don't mind, I'll just share. In my writing, I just finished this up yesterday. But it was just, you know, just a blog on fear versus faith. And remember, our faith is our home field. So I did that purposely. Fear versus faith. Second is always the person that's the team that's at home. Mm-hmm. And I close by saying, as we begin to explore the next phase of normal, we will exercise either faith or fear. Faith is the true home field advantage. With faith, we can defeat fear. Mm-hmm. In faith, there is no spirit of fear, but of the power and of love and of a sound mind. We have power over fear. We have love for ourselves, our families, and others, which guides us in our decisions. And with faith, we have sound minds to conduct our lives with wisdom, that we might protect ourselves and others as we move forward. Those who are fearful during these unprecedented times should know that they can make it, that someone cares about them. You exercising your faith can give others hope. And in closing, last sentence. In the days and weeks ahead, let's be faith-driven. Let's activate our faith in words, action, and deeds. Let's overcome fear with wisdom and love. Let's claim victory through the power of faith.
That's beautiful. True. Where do you share that? Where do you post that? Where can people read it?
Literally, I just sent it to my wife, mm-hmm. late yesterday evening. Okay. And we put it on our Vincent Country website. I just do some posts there, try to do some enlightening and encouraging posts. But literally, I just wrote a blog because of, now people say, don't let your faith be, don't be crazy. No. In faith, I have reasonable concerns. So we should have concerns, but I cannot allow the fear, which is false evidence appearing real, to overcome the way I think and paralyze me in what is ahead. So I just want, when you said that, literally, it was what I was trying to capture. Mm-hmm. As we discuss fear versus faith and the power of faith.
Is it a website, Vincent Country? I know you're on,
yes,
on social media.
Yes, sir. VincentCountry.com.
People can check that out. Troy, man, I appreciate the conversation. As always, I love to hear your passion for sharing the word. I know that to you that is a purpose.
Oh, well, thank you. And as always, man, I just love having the conversation about what we can do for others, mm-hmm. Being able to share my vulnerabilities so that maybe someone could either learn from it, allow it to be, gain a tool for their toolbox,
yes.
Whether young or old. But I just thank you for, frankly, the platform and the friendship and the trust throughout the years. So I appreciate you, Rob, man. I feel like I've been knowing you since you were like a I'm gonna call you a pup. Now, man, you're family, man, and so I appreciate you.
Thank you. That was former NFL star and current league executive Troy Vincent. You are listening to Faith on the Field Show, presented by Cairn University.
Located in Langhorne, Pennsylvania, just 25 minutes from Philadelphia, Cairn University is the right place for students to get a dynamic experience centered on Christ and His Word. Students are equipped professionally, personally, and spiritually, and make an impact on the local community and surrounding cities. Cairn is close to everything that matters for future educators, pastors, social workers, entrepreneurs, musicians, and more. See if Cairn is the right place for you. Schedule a visit today at cairn.edu/visit.
Welcome back to Faith on the Field Show, presented by Cairn University. I'm Rob Motti. I want to take a minute to thank all of our wonderful sponsors. Please check them out on our website, Cairn University, Heritage's Dairy Stores, Oliver Heating and Cooling, and Rick Santella, Senior Vice President at Morgan Stanley, Norristown Hospitality Center, Shady Maple, Weather Trends 360, California Closets. Thank you to all of those wonderful, awesome sponsors. We truly appreciate it. Thank you to Troy Vincent for being our guest this week. Thank you to all of our listeners and followers. Big thanks to Doug Horton for handling the business side. Big thanks to Pastor Scott Foreman for his excellent work on our website, podcast, and blog. Thank you to Ryan Lennox, our producer, 610 ESPN Philly, 107.5 Alive, and Joy FM Sports for airing Faith on the Field, presented by Cairn University. For Remy and Kyle, I'm Rob Motti, reminding you, make a difference, be a blessing.